I like sunglasses. This is my pair of sunglasses that I've had for probably more than 10 years. Sunglasses deflect the sun. You could say they reject the sun. Sunglasses, it dims the brightness. Sunglasses, you could say, clouds our vision. Sunglasses, you could say, darken our environment. And I like sunglasses. But I'm here to say that there is a tactic of the devil that does the same exact thing. It's called depression. Depression rejects the Savior, the sun. Depression, it clouds our environment. Depression, it darkens our outlook. And it just discourages the daylights out of us. Depression is as old as mankind is. And statistics tell us that 45,000 people succeed every year just in America in committing suicide. And more than that, double that, fail in committing suicide for the number one reason. They're depressed. Top 10 diagnoses of doctors every year in America has to do with depression. Depression has been called the common cold of the emotions. Depression is in the top 10 of what the doctors diagnose. And yet, it's one of the greatest ailments in the church. And it is, statistics tell us, the number one cause of preachers resigning is discouragement and depression. Heard about Charlie Brown cartoon. Lucy was having a conversation with Lioness. And Lioness was waxing philosophical. He says, you know, life is just ups and downs. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. And old Lucy, who I really don't like, she says, well, I don't like the ups and downs, the ups and downs, the ups and downs. Why can't it just be ups and ups and ups and ups? And a lot of us think like that. I don't want the downs. I don't want the valleys. I don't want the discouragements. All I want is the high points. We come to Romans chapter 4. Paul is illustrating the faith of Abraham. And so I don't want you to miss the point. He is talking about the gospel. He is talking about how faith gets us what we never could get on our own. He's talking about how through faith we are justified, we are redeemed. He uses Abraham as an example. He uses Abraham as a testimony of his saving faith, but also of his sanctifying faith. So this morning, I want us to look at Romans chapter 4. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you want to know, what do I have to do to go to heaven? It is a matter of faith. But if you do know Jesus as your Savior, he's like, how can I make it through this tough time that I am in? Hey, it's the same way you're saved. Faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Three truths about faith and about fear. Sermon's entitled, Hope for a Helpless Heart. The first truth I want you to see, the foundation of faith. Notice verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So Abraham believed God. when it was not logical, when it did not make sense, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed God anyway. He lived his life not on the basis of what he could do, what he could finagle, what he could manipulate. He lived his life on the basis of what God had promised. And that's the way all of us are to live our lives, on the basis God said this in His Word, and I take it as fact. I take it as true. One's faith will never be useful if the object of his faith is insufficient. You say, what are you talking about? I could have great faith in weak ice, and my great faith, it's not going to hold me up when I'm standing on that weak ice, because the object of my faith is insufficient. I could have very strong faith in a weak chair, but the strong faith would not overcome the object of my faith and the weakness of it, and that the chair is faulty. But I could have weak faith in a strong object. So I could sit down in this strong chair, and even though I'm a little bit nervous, and even though I'm just not very strong and committed, my weak faith, the chair would hold it up because the object of my faith is good, even though my faith itself isn't. Now look back at the verse. Abraham talking about his faith. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth, or who maketh alive the dead. Now hold on a second. Abraham is saying, I believe that God gives life to the dead. Well, there had never been a resurrection in the history of the world. Up until this point, God had never revealed the doctrine of resurrection. How did Abraham know that God revealed it to him? And he believed it. You go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. The whole reason he could lay his son down upon that altar was because, Genesis 22, verse 5, he believed that God was able to raise the dead. Hold on a second. If God can raise the dead, he can perform a miracle in your life. Some of you have walked in here discouraged. You've walked in here defeated. You walked in here and you're ready just to throw in the towel and give up. Can I point you to the answer for your problem? It's God. It's the all-powerful God. Stand still and know that He is God. He is the one that raises the dead. But look back at the verse. Not only does He have power to raise the dead, look what it says. Who quickeneth the dead, maketh alive the dead. Who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Unbelief denies the person of God, denies His character, denies His reliability, denies His truthfulness. No, 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 no. What you worry about is more reliable and more dependable than what God has said. And Abraham, how could he do this? Because he believed that God was the one who calleth those things which be not as though they were. He's the one that creates ex nihilo out of nothing. That's what he did with Isaac. He was 100 years old. Sarah's womb was dead. How could this be? Faith in an almighty God. Now let me get into your business. God doesn't want Beulah Baptist just moping through life. God doesn't want you in your life just limping around sad, singing the blues. He wants you believing Him for impossible things. He wants you depending upon Him for unbelievable, miraculous things. You say, well, how could I ever do that? Faith. faith in Almighty God. Not in you, not what you can do, not what you can figure out, not what you can manipulate. The foundation of our faith must be our God. The foundation of the faith. Secondly, notice the focus of his faith. Now, look at verse 17. I love this. See the first phrase? As it is risen, I have made thee a father of many nations. The verb tense refers to something that is an already fact, that's already completed, already done. So he's saying, hey, Abraham, it's a done deal. And Abraham says, not a done deal for me. I don't have a son. You promised me, Abram, father of many. God comes to him and says, hey, Abram, it's a done deal. You're going to have a son. No, not me. Not me. I'm not a father of many. God says, no. I'm going to change your name so it's not Abram. It's Abraham, not just a father of many, father of nations. That's what I'm going to, it's a done, completed fact. Abraham says, but I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't hear him cry. How can you say it's a done deal? Look at verse 18. And against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Not just the father of many, but a father of many nations, Abraham. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Can you see the birthday cake? 70. Can you see the birthday cake? 80 candles. Can you see the birthday cake? 90 candles. It made no sense. You see what the verse says? According to that which was spoken, he believed. Friend, listen to me. That's how you deal with depression. That's how you deal with discouragement. That's how you deal with the overwhelming feelings that you're facing. I don't know what's causing it. There are reasons for that. But you stop looking at the visible and you start trusting God's word. You stop listening to Satan's lies and you start listening to God's truth. You stop listening to Satan telling you what you can't do and what you haven't done and how you're a failure, and you start listening to what God's saying you can do, what you're going to do, and that you are more than conqueror through him, that you get to change your outlook, your focus. Look at verse 9. How did Abraham do it? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he had a choice. Faith is not ignoring the facts, ignoring the current scenario. Faith is believing more in the invisible than in the visible. So I come into your scenario. I come into your situation. I come into that burden that you're carrying. Are you focused on the visible problem or the invisible promise? Are you letting the overwhelming burden weigh you down or the promise of God carry you through? Look. He considered not. So he had to figure this thing out. Was he going to depend upon the impossibility of having a child at 100 years old? Or was he going to live his life based upon the impossibility of God telling a lie? God cannot lie. He is faithful. I'm going to believe in him. This was not just a matter of human impossibility. Listen, friend. It was a matter of human impotence. You say, what are you talking about? Why do you think God had them wait so long before he gave him Isaac? so they would have nothing to depend upon but God. They couldn't say, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. 80-year-old dude, I've still got it going on. It was dead. It was over. There was no hope. And God says, when I am not your last resort, when I am your only resort, then I will show up in your life and I will perform what you need me to perform. A lot of us, Neil Jackson at the front of the line. Oh, I can figure this out. Yeah, I got in a little bit of a situation, but I can do this and I can do this. And a lot of times, God will let us go right up into the brink of failure so that we're calling upon Him, so that we're depending upon Him for everything. And then He will move mightily on our behalf. Abraham had a decision to make. Was he going to believe in what he saw? Or was he going to believe in what God said? And that is the choice every one of us have to make when dealing with our problems. Are we going to deal with, or are we going to believe in this problem and how hurtful and how painful and how discouraging and how overwhelming it is? Or are we going to believe God's promise that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be your great burden bearer. I will help you through, even through the valley of the shadow of death. What are you going to depend upon? What you see or what God has said? A few weeks ago, I was playing golf with a couple of guys on a course I had never played in my life. So I saw, when we got to the tee box, it showed water up there in front of the green and just a mess. So I asked the guy that I'm playing with, I was like, what's this course do? You can't see the green from the tee box. How am I supposed to know where to hit? He says, listen, there's junk up there to the left. There you'll get into all kinds of problems up there in front of the green. But you see that tree out there? Just aim for that tree and just hit it straight toward that tree. And don't worry about the green. Don't worry about the water. Don't worry about all of that muck. Just aim for the tree. You go toward the tree and you'll be fine. The only problem is I'm a horrible golfer and I'm not good at aiming toward the tree. And a lot of us are the same way. The muck of life, the rivers of life, the flooding of life frightens us and steals our focus. I don't know what you're going through. Friend, there is hope. There is hope, and it's in Jesus. Jesus came to be your substitute. Jesus came to die and take your hell so that you could take His heaven. Focus on Jesus. That's how you get to heaven. And that's how you get through life. Thirdly, and I'm done, the fruit of faith. I love this. And let me go quickly, and I'm done. Look at verse 20. For he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now look at the next phrase. Giving glory to God. Abram's goal through all of this, through this impossible situation, God, I want you to be glorified. God, I want you to be honored. God, I want you to be lifted up in this huge situation that I'm in. Listen, friend, I don't care how big your burden is. I don't care how big your problem is, your difficulty, your overwhelming circumstance. It is a good thing if God is glorified through that burden, through that circumstance, through that situation. So when you're going through it, and when you're overwhelmed, and when you're frustrated, remember, glorify God. When it's hurting, when they're being mean to you, when they're saying things about you that are not true, glorify God anyway. because you bear fruit when you give glory to God. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Best definition of faith in the Bible. I'm just convinced that he's able. God is able. In this situation where they say, oh, he's down for the count, I am fully persuaded that he keeps his word. Look at verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith is what makes one righteous before God. Faith is the only way any of us will ever be righteous before God. Jesus, we realize you died on the cross as our substitute in our place, and we put our faith in you as our Savior. But notice this. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Not when Isaac was born. Not when he was rocking Isaac. Not when he had seen, yeah, God came through. Woohoo! It wasn't imputed to him for righteousness once God came through. It was imputed to him for righteousness when he was 100 years old and his neighbors were making fun of him. That crazy man thinks he and his old wife are going to have a baby when he believed in spite of the circumstances. Then it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that's the way salvation is. When Jesus returns, when he's sitting on the throne, oh yeah, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. But it's too late then. If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, you must do it now when he hasn't returned, when he's not sitting on his throne. You must by faith. No. I believe he did what he said he did. I believe he's coming back. My faith is in Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Abraham amazes me. He didn't have a Bible to read. He just believed the promises of God. He didn't have a cross to look back to. He just believed the promises of God. He didn't have an empty tomb to go and visit. He just believed the promises of God. He was, for all practical purposes, alone in a world of unbelievers. And yet, he believe the promises of God. So I come to you. How's your faith? Our world needs to see people that believe God to the max. For salvation, yes. But it's more than just salvation. It's for your daily living right now. Are you believing God for those kids? Or have you given up? How about for that wayward spouse? How about for that health condition? How about for that job scenario? See, a lot of times we are depressed and we are discouraged and we are defeated because we are looking at our circumstances and not at our God. Let me show you one other thing and we'll be done. Look back up at verse 19. I love this. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But that phrase, and being not weak in faith. Hold on a second, Paul. Hold on a second, Holy Spirit. I don't mean to question your authoritative word, but he was weak in faith. There were times that that he did fail. God told him, leave your family. Go to a land that I will show you. Well, he didn't totally leave his family behind. In times of famine, he didn't stay there and trust God. He went down to Egypt. When they got down to Egypt and they asked him about his wife, he said, no, that's not my wife. She's my sister. When it came to having a child, he was weak in his faith. He believed, listened to Sarah, and he went into Hagar, her handmaid, instead of listening to God and said, no, I'm waiting for what God has said. He went to God and says, hey, God, let Ishmael live before you. Let Ishmael be the one. And God said, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be Isaac. Hold on a second. Being not weak in faith. He was weak in faith. So how do you rectify that? Listen, one word. Grace. Glory to God. Grace. It's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I never have a down day. It's not because, oh, look at me, I'm Superman. No. It's because of Jesus. And he did it all. And I say, hey, I got some bad days and I got some downer times and I got some moments that I'm not proud of. But I believe in Jesus. It was grace. And it was also, he failed a few tests, but he passed the class. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I bombed that quiz. Yeah, that one that the teacher gave me, and that floored me. I flunked that one big time. But at the end of the semester, you passed the class. How do you explain not weak in faith? Grace. Faith. When it mattered, he trusted his God for everything. Back to you. What's your burden? What's your difficulty? What's weighing you down? The answer is Almighty God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop focusing on your problems. Stop focusing on your difficulties. Stop focusing on that overwhelming scenario and how it's so much bigger and stronger than you are. And start focusing on your God and how he is so much stronger and bigger than your circumstances and your difficulties are. It's just a matter of what are you going to believe? Fear or faith? First part of the 20th century, James Cash Penny presided over an empire of 1,700 department stores. Incredibly successful and a strong Christian. But then the Depression hit. And he had leveraged everything he had. He had borrowed money every way that he could. And when the Depression hit, the financial pressures and the needs of people and the overwhelming responsibility that he had, he went into the throes of depression. He, for week after week after week, he eventually checked himself into an insane asylum, a mental hospital. And they put him on this strict regimen to deal with his depression. But everything they did, they changed his diet, they put him on medicine. Everything they did was useless and did no good. J.C. Penney sat down and wrote a letter to his wife and to his son because he thought he was going to die that night. He was so low. He woke up in the morning and he was alive. He went walking down the hall of that mental institution, and where they had chapel, where they had Bible study in the morning, he heard them singing. He writes his testimony. I'm standing there in the hallway and the song that they're singing set me free from depression. I went in, I sat down, I listened to the Bible study. I don't remember a thing that the preacher said in the Bible study. But the words of that song, it set me free. It liberated me from the throes of depression. You say, well, are you going to tell us? What was the song? You know it. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love, abide. God in all of His power, He will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. Or, oh, we say, what about this situation? And what if this happens? And what if that? Listen to the words of the song. Through every day and all the way, He will take care of you. Friend, listen. God will take care of you. The question is, do you believe it?